Join Bloomberg in San Francisco or virtually on May 7th for The Future Investor, Data-Powered Transformations. This 2024 event series will examine how data is not only playing a pivotal role in investment decisions, but serves as a driving force behind the construction of innovative, investable enterprises. This series is proudly sponsored by Invesco QQQ. Register at BloombergLive.com/futureinvestor/radio.
To my successor, whoever he or she may be. Number one, stay close to the Americans, stick up for the Ukrainians, stick up for freedom and democracy everywhere.
Politics in general has taken total leave of its senses.
Changing one man at the top of the Tory party won't make any difference. It won't fix the problems. Let's have a fresh start for Britain. Let's have a real change of government.
Hello, you're listening to Bloomberg UK Politics, your daily guide to the corridors of power. I'm Caroline Hepke.
I'm Ewan Potts. Coming up on today's programme, Ofgem announces a big rise in energy bills from October. The CEO of the energy supply utility tells us that 100% of his customers are already fuel poor. And the Federation of Small Businesses points to the problems for companies who aren't covered by the limit on household bills.
And with workers on strike for higher pay across many industries, we speak to Sam Tarry, the Labour MP, fired by the party leadership after his media blitz from the picket line.
Well, industry regulator Ofgem has raised the cap on domestic energy bills by 80% this morning from October to a record average of more than £3,500 a year. That is almost three times higher than last winter's level. Charities and suppliers have described the situation as Armageddon, adding that the scale of the issue is truly catastrophic. Well, Jonathan Brierley of Ofgem explains the reasons that prices have shot up.
When I look at the prices for winter now for buying the gas, they are 15 times what they normally are. Now, if that were to happen in petrol, that would mean it would cost us £400 to £500 to fill our car. So ultimately, the cost of energy is changing dramatically.
Okay, so it's about the underlying wholesale price, says Ofgem. Well, the government's under pressure, though, to deliver a COVID-style rescue package for households to prevent an economic crash. The Chancellor, Nadeem Zahawi, says that he is preparing options for the next Prime Minister.
We know we need to do more because, actually, the most vulnerable households have no cushion, have nothing available to them. So what I'm looking at is how I can target that help for those people, not just to January, but we need to make sure that we're resilient through next year. So I'm looking at all the options of how much more I need to deliver for those households, for those SMEs. So we're looking at all those options. They'll be ready by the 5th of September for the incoming Prime Minister to make those choices.
So that was the Chancellor Nadeem Zahawi speaking there. Now, the Shadow Chancellor, Rachel Reeves, explains what Labour would do.
A package of measures worth £29 billion, and that includes the price freeze that would mean that no one would pay a penny more for their gas and electricity this autumn and winter. We would pay for this through a package of revenue raises.
Well, that was Shadow Chancellor Rachel Reeves. Caroline, it's a really pretty shocking number, isn't it? We knew that it was going to be around about 80%, so this has been previewed for a couple of weeks, but I think it's really going to hit home, isn't it, to consumers what this actually means this winter. And of course, if you compare it to last winter, it's almost triple. So costs are really going to be quite something for huge numbers of households. Interesting survey from YouGov YouSwitch that I saw, which said that 90% of consumers were underestimating how bad it's going to be this winter in terms of fuel bills. And in fact, a number of households are thinking that fuel bills will be lower this winter than they were last year.
Yeah, this affects 24 million households in the UK. In terms of that 80% rise, our own energy reporter here at Bloomberg was saying, no, 80% compared to April, but it doesn't factor in the issue that most people use their energy come winter, not come summer. We're not a country that has air conditioning of any description, really. Also, Ofgem's household price cap could hit, get this, more than £7,000, £7,272 from the 1st of April. This, according to the consultancy Auxilio, and we were relying on them for actually the October figures, and they were pretty much spot on. So there you have it, more than £7,000.
Yeah, it's quite incredible, isn't it? It's because gas prices have continued to rise over the last few weeks, and they have not been figured into this most recent increase. This is based on gas price rises from some months ago. Well, let's discuss today's big issues with our first guest, former Shadow Transport Minister and Labour MP for Ilford South, Sam Tarry. Now, Sam, thanks so much for joining us on the programme today. Energy bills set to be almost triple what they were last winter. Who do you blame for this?
Look, the government could take action tomorrow, far more than they are at the moment, to sort this out. I mean, you know, we only have to look across the channel to France, where the government has a stake in many of the companies that provide the energy. In fact, actually, for example, E.ON is actually, which we do have in this country, is obviously partly owned by the French government. And they just said months and months ago, actually, we're going to cut prices or freeze prices. So, you know, it's fantastic hearing from the Labour Shadow Chancellor that we're going to be having those plans in place that make a real difference. I do think that we could go even further than that, and we could actually be saying that whilst those wholesale prices are rising, then actually our government needs to take a stake in those companies, and there should be, you know, a 0.1% profit margin or a 0% profit margin, because there is, you know, a reality that the top executives of those companies and the shareholders are still getting pretty wealthy levels of dividends, whilst ordinary people are going to be absolutely suffering. I've literally just walked to my office here in Ilford from communication workers, so postal workers, picket line, talking to them, you know, and talking to them about the reasons they're on strike today. And it was very clear, you know, whether they were people in their 50s or a young lad who's only 25, they literally are so frightened about how they're going to pay their bills over the next few months as we go into the winter. And, you know, it cannot be right in a constituency like mine, you know, where we have some very poor wards, we have some wards that are, you know, not the, the very poorest, that our local food bank ran out of food over the last few months because my community couldn't afford to even donate to the food bank. So the government has to take action. I think the levels of anger out there are now off the Richter scale.
Okay, but the issue is that wholesale prices are going up, and that's not easy to solve. E.ON, by the way, a German-owned company. And the issue also is the same as Europe, is that somebody ends up having to pay. It either comes from taxes, you know, but the wholesale prices have gone up, and that is the kind of fundamental issue. Do you think that consumers need to do their bit and try to reduce consumption if they can, turn down the heating or use the tumble dryer less? I mean, that's the big message. Use energy less.
Yes, definitely. I think, of course, that's sensible. But there's a couple of things immediately that should have happened and still could happen. Obviously, it will take longer, but it should have happened, you know, years ago. One is obviously solar panels on roofs, the government ending the feed-in tariffs. You know, that would have actually made a difference, basically subsidised, you know, solar-powered energy could have been put onto millions of homes. But the most important, the most obvious one, the one that would actually be proven to create over 100,000 decent, well-paid jobs, would be to insulate properly and have a rolling programme of insulation of every single home in Britain. That could have been something that had been in place 3 or 4 years ago, and that would be making a huge difference, because actually energy efficiency could be something that happens that does actually help cost those bring those costs down as those energy wholesale prices rise. But I also just think at the moment, you know, it is right that the government is going to have to step in to support ordinary people. It happened during the pandemic, you know, furlough was brought in because the people weren't able to go to work because the economy was collapsing. You know, this is a similar situation. The government is going to have to stop it. That's why we have governments. You know, they need to make difficult decisions. In this case, a difficult decision is going to be to support ordinary working families to get through this crisis.
Sam, do you think the last Labour government could have done more to reform the energy market?
Yes, I do, actually. I think that, you know, the last Labour government, you know, did transform the country, lifted millions of people out of poverty, and you know, I'm very proud of it, of its track record in many, many areas. But we didn't change some of the fundamentals in the economy. We didn't reverse the sort of neoliberal economic approach that was brought in the 80s under Thatcher in the 90s, where essentially everything from water, energy, railways was given to the private sector. And now we face a situation where we have some of the highest energy bills per capita anywhere in the world. We have some of the highest rail fares anywhere in the world. And, you know, many of previously quite successful sort of institutions have been just hived off and carved up for potentially shareholder profit, but not really benefiting ordinary people. You know, we've made decisions in this country that have left us in quite a different position to many other European neighbours, and that is because of political decisions made both in the 80s under Conservative, but then not reversed by a Labour government in the 1990s.
Okay, but the issue is the same today, isn't it? The last time we spoke to you, you were out on the picket line and you were at a rally, a demonstration in favour of workers who were on strike. And then just hours later, you were sat by your leader from the shadow cabinet by Keir Starmer. I mean, how did that feel? I mean, does that send the right message?
No, I don't think it does. In fact, actually, I had huge support today from my local, you know, posties. You know, these are real heroes of the pandemic, people that kept working. My local sorting office lost four members of staff during the pandemic, yet they kept working throughout. They thought and were very angry about what happened to me, and they felt that actually Labour does need to really clearly demonstrate that it's on the side of ordinary workers in this country, and that means not banning people from being on picket lines. It doesn't mean that every Labour MP needs to go on every single picket line, but it does need to be really clear that we are the party of the trade union movement, and actually we are prepared to fight back and offer bold solutions to the economic crisis and the climate crisis and the energy crisis that is facing us. You know, we do have some fantastic policies. Rachel Reeves talked about a £29 billion package. You know, that is something that can be, you know, even more beefed up. You know, the plans for what we call a Green New Deal in this country could actually genuinely not only create jobs, solve the crime crisis, but also actually make sure people are better off. And ultimately, people need more money in their bank accounts right now. It's a very simple truth of it.
Sam, just briefly, is there a danger that Labour's leadership, by attempting to steer a middle ground on strikes, ends up pleasing nobody?
I think that's already happening, yeah. I mean, Labour MPs who are back, you know, over the weeks campaigning in their constituencies after I was sacked, told me it was coming up on the doorstep. We cannot be in a situation where our core vote is that angry at us. You know, we need to be very clear. If we're on the side of British people, that means we're on the side of people who are struggling and fighting back against what is a totally out-of-touch Tory government. Look, just look at the Tory leadership contest. There's no discussion of the cost of living crisis, not one bit, and that is outrageous.
The countdown has begun. This May, 1,000 global leaders will gather in Doha for the Qatar Economic Forum powered by Bloomberg, held in conjunction with our official partners, the Qatar Ministry of Commerce and Industry and Media City Qatar, and premier sponsor QNB. Join heads of state, influential ministers and leading CEOs to make new connections and gain unique insights. Learn more at QatarEconomicForum.com.
Well, the UK's surging energy bills means that 100% of utilities customers are currently in fuel poverty. That's according to CEO Bill Bullen.
The energy company boss spoke to Stephen Carroll and I on Bloomberg Daybreak Europe this morning. He told us that the price cap is hugely significant for his company, his customers, and he told us how government should deal with it.
For our business, we concentrate on the prepay market, which tend to be lower income households, and they've been struggling already. They were struggling last winter. We had a big price rise in April, didn't struggle quite so much during the summer because obviously consumption is much lower. But as we go into the winter, that 54% price rise is going to really hit home. And now, you know, we've got an 80% price rise on top of that, and it's going to be horrendous. It's going to have a really, really big impact on an awful lot of homes. If you think £3,500 is about a third of the state pension, £9,500. So, you know, people are really worried. I know the government is going to announce some further support. What concerns me is the worry that people have. In the meantime, it would have possibly been better to have timed these announcements a little bit better, because I'm sure the government is going to act. But in the meantime, you know, we're going to have a couple of weeks now of uncertainty as to exactly what those measures are going to be.
Bill, you say that you're sure that the government will act, but Liz Truss has given some pretty mixed signals on that. It doesn't look like she is particularly keen, and she is tipped to become the next Prime Minister. It doesn't sound like she is that keen to roll out extra help.
I think the reality of being in office, irrespective of what anybody is saying right now, is going to be that they're going to have to act. So, and I've seen some press release this morning that suggests that Liz Truss is actually, you know, really starting to address this problem. I don't know. I'm not involved in that process. But any government, if any government doesn't address this problem, then they won't be a government for very long. It's as simple as that.
Bill, I'm curious how many of your customers are currently in distress or behind on their energy bills, and how much are you preparing for that number to go up by when these price increases come into force in October?
Well, I think that probably 100% of my customer base is without doubt now definitely fuel poor and then some. So, you know, it's a huge problem for us, you know, operationally. Obviously, you know, we are dealing with people who are running out of cash every day. We've already been taking something like 2,000 calls a day where we have been, you know, trying to help people financially, and that number is just going to go through the roof.
What exactly do you think that the government should do? And there are various proposals on the table. So there's cutting green levies. That's quite a small proportion of energy bills.
Yeah.
There's scrapping VAT on energy bills. There's increasing the £400 rebate. There's freezing the price cap, you know, at its current level. Obviously, that's not happened. What are the measures in order? What is the biggest measure that the government must take, in your view?
Well, they've definitely got to increase assistance, you know, considerably. And we are now talking, you know, thousands of pounds, not hundreds of pounds. And the problem with green levies or VAT, you know, you're talking about measures that are hundreds of pounds. So, and the problem is that if you carry on down this road that we're on at the moment, where the government announced some kind of support package to help people pay an inflated bill, every time the bills get inflated further, and we're looking at January where, you know, potentially they're going to be inflated even further, the government has to come up with yet another support package. So what we've been suggesting is, instead of constantly chasing this problem, we need to get ahead of it, announce a freeze in the price caps, and then deal with the consequences of that, you know, essentially out of, you know, away from customers, so the customers aren't suffering the stress of, you know, looking at their energy bills going through the roof. Freeze prices for customers, solve that problem, and then work out how we fix it.
That is effectively a very big step on the nationalisation road.
I don't think so. I mean, other countries have announced price freezes. You know, people ask me this question about nationalisation all the time. It's an irrelevance. It really is, in terms of price, because obviously nobody's making a profit in this business anyway at the moment. And if you do end up nationalising, you'll go back to having, you know, an inefficient industry that is essentially running, you know, trying to meet the objectives of politicians rather than of, you know, supplying energy at the best and cheapest cost to consumers, which is, you know, where we are at the moment. So I'm obviously not a fan of nationalisation, and I don't think that will solve the issue, not one little bit.
I'm curious to hear you say that nobody's making a profit in this. I mean, there are energy companies making very large profits at the moment. What do you mean by that?
Well, the retail sector in the UK is controlled by these price caps. Obviously, with the wholesale costs going up, everybody's being forced to operate absolutely at the price cap. So that's the bit of the industry that is kind of facing the customer. Obviously, further upstream, it's a complex industry. You have all kinds of companies. Some are more vertically integrated than others. Some have gas fields, some have power stations, and some, like mine, are just a pure retail organization. So obviously, upstream players that are, you know, pumping gas out of the North Sea or producing electricity from a non-hydrocarbon source will be making big profits right now. But that doesn't mean that the retail sector, the one that's being regulated by these price caps, is making any profit at all.
So that's on the consumer side. But one important caveat to note about Ofgem's price cap is that it only applies to households and not to businesses.
So speaking to Martin McTagg, the National Chair of the Federation of Small Businesses, well, he's been flagging the devastating impact on small and mid-sized firms for months.
It is important to remind people that businesses don't have a cap. And for many small businesses, I think at the latest ONS figures, most businesses had less than 3 months cash left. They're facing the highest taxes they've had for 50 years. They're looking at consumer demand slumping. And I mean, I was given an example only yesterday of a poultry farmer whose energy bill is due to go up from £23,000 a year to £112,000 a year. And you have to remember that these guys aren't in a position to look for hedging deals. They have to accept whatever the spot market offers. And this is happening at a time when government is in complete paralysis. There is, and most small businesses are due to change their energy supplier in October and will be faced by these massive increases at the worst possible time.
How many businesses do you think could go under as a result of this?
Well, we know that there are something like 500,000 businesses that are in real distress when it comes to cash resources, and their options are running out. You know, if you're a pub that's facing with increases of some, I think the last one I saw was going up from 14,000 to 55,000. They can't pass it on to their customers. They're in a position where if they try and do anything about reducing their overheads, they're going to reduce the attractiveness of their business. So they're in a spiral. And for many of them, they cannot see a way out. The only way out, I think, is government help. And we've said to them, they could do something similar to what they've done with consumers and pay grants through business rates. Mm-hmm. It could do something about lowering energy taxes, but equally important, and it refers back to your conversation with the previous guest, they could do a lot more to encourage businesses to reduce their consumption and help them reduce the consumption.
Yeah, and Nadeem Zahawi, the Chancellor, has said that there's nothing off the table when it comes to action on energy bills in France, a country that Stephen knows well. The French energy cap does include small businesses. Is Liz Truss really listening? Do you think that she's going to deliver if she does become the next Prime Minister, as she is sort of hotly tipped to 5th of September?
Well, certainly... we are very encouraged by a lot of the rhetoric coming out of the Truss camp. There seems to be a real understanding of the scale of these problems and the sense of urgency, which we haven't seen from the Sunak camp.
Are you encouraged by Truss, though? She talked about, you know, not sort of bunging money to people that she didn't want sort of effectively free giveaways of cash to support people.
Yeah, well, I hear that, but I also hear that she recognises that something like 60% of the private sector workforce work for small businesses. These are millions of families. And if you took the sort of 500,000 businesses that are at risk at the moment, you're talking about 2.5 million people probably having their jobs threatened by this. Now, is that something any incoming prime minister is prepared to accept?
Where do you think this will leave businesses in a year's time? Are we going to see, you know, a massive switch of suppliers? Is there going to have to be greater intervention in the market to change the way small businesses get their energy?
I think there's going to have to be ways in which you can smooth out what is currently obviously exceptional circumstances and allow people to push it further into the future. I mean, in some ways, there's a lot of parallels with what happened during the COVID crisis, where, you know, the government recognized that allowing the crisis to cause, you know, several million people to be put on the dole was not a price that were prepared to accept, and they intervened in the market. And I think you're going to have a similar sort of intervention into the energy market to try and prevent a similar catastrophe.
So that was Martin McTagg, the Federation of Small Businesses National Chair, there, rounding off our look at the Ofgem price cap. It doesn't kick in until October the 1st, but obviously this is a bombshell for households across the UK.
Yeah, it's a really serious situation, which we'll no doubt we'll come back to in the coming weeks.
Bloomberg UK Politics. Listen weekdays at noon on DAB Digital Radio in London.
The countdown has begun. From May 14th to 16th, 1,000 global leaders will gather in Doha for the Qatar Economic Forum powered by Bloomberg. Join heads of state, influential ministers, and leading CEOs to make new connections, gain unique insights, and uncover valuable opportunities in one of the world's most rapidly rising regions. Request your invite for this exclusive event at QatarEconomicForum.com.